Islanders up in the U.S. Also called the Shenanigans Podcast. Always play that reggae too, in case you didn't know, hey, this is how we do.
Thank you for tuning in to episode 11 of the Shenanigans Podcast, produced by Merire Media Group, but not necessarily affiliated with Native Expat Radio. This program contains mild to moderate swearing and a Palawan chick who talks about stuff that people sometimes wish I wouldn't. I'm not going to apologize for that. Thanks to everyone who tuned in last week for my first episode in a long-ass time. Because life happened and surgeons removed my whole ass fibula and my peroneal artery and gave me this bionic jaw, which left me in a wheelchair, well, not anymore, and half my face is still numb, so apologies in advance if or when I slur or mumble. I can't always feel my face. Also, apologies in advance for background noise. I live on the other side of the freeway from downtown Honolulu, so between traffic and sirens and the occasional false alarm of our impending doom, it can get loud here. So yeah, that said, let's move right along. Interesting items in this week's news. Most notably, that the leader of the United States went and met with the leader of Russia. However, he waited until he was back in the United States, safely away from said leader of Russia, to finally publicly admit and accept that there was Russian interference in the 2016 election. However, the way he explained it, it was, you know what? In case you missed it, let me just go ahead and play it for you.
I thought that I made myself very clear by having just reviewed the transcript. Now, I have to say, I came back and I said, what is going on? What's the big deal? So I got a transcript. I reviewed it. I actually went out and reviewed a clip of an answer that I gave. And I realized that there is a need for some clarification. It should have been obvious. I thought it would be obvious, but I would like to clarify just in case it wasn't. In a key sentence in my remarks, I said the word would instead of wouldn't. The sentence should have been, I don't see any reason why I wouldn't or why it wouldn't be Russia. So just to repeat it, I said the word would instead of wouldn't, and the sentence should have been, and I thought it would be maybe a little bit unclear on the transcript or unclear on the actual video. The sentence should have been, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be Russia. Sort of a double negative. So you can put that in, and I think that probably clarifies things pretty good by itself.
Look, I think we can all recognize that he is not the greatest leader this country has ever had. However, I know I'm not the only person who listened to this and had some sort of weird, like, flashback into childhood where you got caught doing something wrong and you doubled down and tried to, like, work your way out of it. The whole time I was listening to that, this is what was going on inside my head.
But remember, honey, look at this. Like, I do this all the time. Everything they do at this house, they can't trust everything at Grandma's house. All the time they get them, this stink. Remember, I'm gonna argue with you.
Now, I think this is an important point to make, not just in reference to the current leadership in the United States, but across the board. Particularly in reference to our leadership in the Pacific, which, I mean, in my case, I'm specifically talking about the leadership in Palau. Please, for the love of whatever you consider sacred, hold your leaders accountable. Back in the 1980s, when there was referendum after referendum in Palau about the Compact of Free Association, there were serious, valid concerns from many Palauan activists. In fact, here's a clip from a documentary called Islands on the Edge of Time, and this was produced by the Ecological Options Network. If you go to my blog post at marire.com that goes with this particular podcast episode, you can actually watch the whole documentary.
For over 2,000 years, Palauans were self-sufficient in the natural abundance here. But now, the survival of Palau's culture and ecology is severely threatened. Palau's government has signed a compact with Washington, giving the U.S. military rights to their land and sea for at least 50 years. And though officials call it the world's newest independent nation, Palau remains a zip code in the U.S. postal system. And, like other indigenous peoples around the world, Palauans are facing the impact of fast-track development for transnational exploitation. They are caught in a game of global players who have no stake in the survival of local cultures and environments. The challenge. Will there be short-term profit for foreign investors and their few Palauan partners, or sustainable development for all Palauans? Can Palauans reclaim control of their nation and resources? How do they successfully combine the best of their traditions with the best of the modern age? This documentary looks at these issues through the work of several Palauan activists who are rising to the challenge.
When you look at sort of the history of the Pacific Islands, when you look at how many colonizers colonized Micronesia, different countries and big metropolitan countries that were so super, super patriarchal countries. You're talking about Spain, you're talking about Germany, you're talking about Japan, you know, and you're talking about now America.
What we have now is very typical of what you see in the United States. You know, you have businessmen who are policy makers.
We might end up becoming victims of multinationals and other big business from the outside.
I don't think it's going to be a honeymoon for, you know, for us in the United States. I don't think so.
It's wrong to deny the people the right to their own land.
Now we're becoming semi-independent, so our challenge is how are we going to reach our visions that we've been talking about, you know, how do we get there?
So all of those concerns evolved into what we have now, which effectively is oligarchy and plutocracy with economic imperialism for good measure. We had those warning signs pointed out to us the first time around, not just by our Palauan activists, but people outside of Palau who could clearly see what was coming, and we didn't listen. Choosing not to hold the leadership accountable for their words and their actions at this point in time, it's the same thing as sticking your head in the sand and hoping it gets better. It does not get better without direct action. Not in Palau, not anywhere else in the Pacific, not in the United States, not at all. So in episodes to come, I'll be bringing on some guests who are going to talk some more about the concepts of oligarchy, plutocracy, and economic imperialism. So be sure to subscribe to the podcast and please do keep listening. We've got a whole shit ton of history to cover. We've got documents that I'm including in my archive of modern Palauan history that I want to go over with you guys. It's just, we have a lot to discuss because essentially we're watching leadership make the same mistakes time and time again, and we're watching people kind of just blindly follow it. So this concludes my somewhat preachy quasi-ranting news segment for this episode.
ABC News Washington Post poll revealing an estimated 33 million American women have been sexually harassed and an estimated 14 million have experienced sexual abuse in work-related incidents.
This guy who I'd never interacted with before writes, "For your age, you're looking great. Hashtag, am I being nice or not? Hashtag, sorry, Aaron.
They try to pass it off as giving me a compliment, and I should be flattered that they're talking about my vagina or how hot I am.
Last night, someone tweeted to me, I wonder how many men you've slept with, you slut. I hope you get raped.
I have a podcast, and obviously it's like kind of an intimate forum of, you know, 1 hour talk, some intimate details come out, and I had a guy message me that we were soulmates and we were meant to be together, and that he would do anything, and he doesn't play games. Like, he knows that I'm meant for him.
Want to see my dick?
You have the look that every man wants in a woman's eyes, surprised with a little bit of fear.
Should we exchange naked pics?
Stupid dumb bitch. Tight hashtag, hashtag victim privilege. Lols.
I've been called angry a lot.
You have to look the other way, and I hate doing that.
Block if they get scary and ignore if it's just annoying.
At this point, I'm so used to it. It still bothers me, but I just expect it.
It's like, why would you bring up that you had lunch?
I stopped looking at the comment sections on the things that I wrote, because it's always about that.
But this is my work. This is what I do for work, and it's a problem. It makes me feel demoralized.
This podcast last year directly in response to a specific Palauan man who had been preying on women as well as girls, and by girls I mean minors, and it has come to my attention that he's not the kind of person who accepts I'm not interested as reason enough to move the fuck on. And since old dude can't get his shit together, I guess we have to come back here and talk about it some more. So before I go on, I will go ahead and say this. I don't care if someone is my friend, my cousin, my uncle, what have you. If someone puts their predatory behavior out there into the universe and somehow it crosses my path, I'm probably going to say something about it. The same will go for apologists or anyone else who wants to stand for their sexually abusive, harassing, assaulting, or predatory friends and family. So if you go ahead and check out the blog post at maride.com that goes with this podcast episode, you will find that I included a screenshot of a conversation between said old dude and one of my listeners. Note that I did block out the listener's identity for their protection. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that between last autumn, when I launched this podcast, and now, old dude has probably preyed on his share of girls and women. I know that he has preyed on several of my own relatives, and while it's never been a problem for me, it is a problem for other people, and so my upstart ass is gonna go ahead and address this. So to this uncle of mine, and also to all the other relentless ass sumal pricks, both young and old, whether you're some young dude who drank too much and you just don't remember, P.S. no one gives a fuck because harassment is still harassment, or you're a respected politician who abuses his position of authority, P.S. you are especially reprehensible, and we know about you, so please do not play like you're an upstanding community leader, because we know what you're really about. You can all go ahead and knock it the fuck off now. Like, it doesn't matter if you think she's pretty, if you love her, in your words, sapient sexually, or if she was interested in you way back when. It doesn't matter if her profile photo looks like she's trying to give you sexy vibes. It doesn't matter if her tits are damn near falling out of her top. If she's not responsive, just go ahead and move the fuck on, because this is not the time or the place for your nonsense. The same goes for dudes who follow women around these Palawan parties like they're stalking prey, trying to force their lips on them, trying to cop a feel, like somehow their attention is a compliment. I assure you, it's not. And I actually mean that to every single one of you men and women, because yes, I know women guilty of this, who has tried that BS. To said uncle of mine, you can use all the big words you want. You can wave your Tufts degree in everyone's faces on social media. And you can even front like you're a God-fearing Christian who we should pity because you haven't been well. But please recognize what we have known for quite some time, and that is that you ain't shit. Now, maybe I am the only one addressing you out loud right now, but please do not for a moment ever think that we do not know about you, Angol, because we do. In fact, we know about all of you. And I have said this before in one of my first episodes, but it needs to be said again because clearly some people did not grasp it the first time around. Being a Palawan girl, or young woman, or grown-ass woman, comes with a lot of complications. Without you literally creating more problems, nearly all of which will become lifelong issues. This is on top of the generational issues we carry from the women who came before us who had to put up with the exact same nonsense in silence. And so I will be damned if I sit here and let your bullshit slide while my fellow Palawan women suffer in silence because someone somewhere thinks that we owe you any sort of respect. So please know that we're watching you, Angol. We're watching all of you, predatory fools. And from here on out, it's gloves the fuck off.
No matter what it is, no matter what you do, never give up, you keep on running through. That's why this podcast is there for you. Whether it's your bipolar or anxiety, OCD or depression, schizophrenia, man, we can all relate. It's the self-care, it's the self-care, cause we is there. Always be positive and you make it.
This week's mental health check-in is a bit of a switch from last week's, but it is incredibly important and it is relevant to our featured segment, which you just heard, Gloves the Fuck Off. But first, I do need to issue this trigger warning. The segment that follows contains stories and testimonies from survivors of sexual assault. The language can and will get graphic, so please note that before you listen any further.
To me, even though I'm a guy.
It happened to me, even though I wasn't wearing revealing clothing.
I wasn't drunk or inebriated.
I didn't ask for these nightmares.
To be in a perpetual state of PTSD.
Constantly living in fear of my own memories.
I didn't ask to feel like a stranger in my own home.
I didn't ask to be a statistic.
I didn't ask to become a victim to your predatory bullshit.
And yet,
it still
happened
to me.
It happened to me, and it felt like drowning. I wanted to scream, but couldn't catch my breath.
My ears will never forget.
It happened to me, even though I thought I knew this person.
It happened to me, even though I didn't know the person.
I thought this was some shit that only happens in the movies.
But never in my wildest dreams did I ever think that.
It could happen to me.
And I remember feeling guilty.
I remember feeling embarrassed.
I remember saying I'm sorry to my friends before even sharing my story.
And the first thing I remember hearing was, I don't believe you.
It's not that big of a deal.
Just stay out of his way.
That doesn't happen to boys.
He just has a temper.
Or silence.
I remember the silence.
Silence was easier for everyone. Easier for them, easier for me.
Easier for him.
She laughed at me. Shame?
Numb.
Humiliation.
I didn't tell anyone for 6 years.
Guilty.
Denial.
Helpless. And I got a call from the detective. He was like, so were you raped, or did he just kind of like beat you up during sex?
He grabbed me, he groped me, he grabbed my crotch multiple times.
He grabbed me really forcefully by the throat and I couldn't breathe. He hit me really hard across the face.
There's so many people who are survivors of some sort of rape or sexual assault. So what we do is tend to shut down survivor stories.
The most damaging thing I heard was, by talking about it, you're giving him more power.
He told me, I'm sorry you felt you were raped. I felt not heard. I felt assaulted again.
Sexual violence is prevalent at a massive level in this country. We tend to not believe people because sometimes it's too much, and then other times because people have a vested interest in not talking about rape and not talking about sexual violence. What ends up happening is incredible damage to people, their sense of self, their sense of trust in others.
One of the topics brought up in an earlier podcast was victim blaming. And let's just go ahead and put it out there and for the record. If you are blaming the victim of a sexual assault, abuse, harassment for what took place, you are taking sides with the rapist, the abuser, the harasser. So don't at me, don't email me, don't message me, don't contact me in any way, because this is not up for debate. If you want to argue this, start your own damn podcast. Now, when a person has been the victim of assault or abuse, experts pretty much concur that that person will experience shame. They are internalizing some of the emotional and mental injuries perpetrated against them, and that is in addition to how the abuse marks them physically. Now, I was reading one text, and it was an expert explaining that the core of victim blaming is that we don't want to feel out of control, because being victimized, or even learning that someone has been victimized, that threatens to shatter the illusion that we are in control of what happens to us, which pretty much runs counter to the concept of control in our lives and our independence. That's the pervasive thought throughout society. It's not a bad thing, but I mean, that's the thing. And the same expert had said that it's considered a secondary trauma or even a secondary assault for people when they're blamed for the abuse. That there's a report of greater distress, increased amounts of depression. It complicates their post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, if they're experiencing it, because now they're dealing with two different kinds of assault from two different sides. There's also an increase in suicidal ideation, thoughts of suicide, thoughts of harming yourself. And it generally decreases a person's chance of reporting future abuse or assault, because there's that fear that they're not going to be believed, or that they're going to have to deal with this negative feedback if they try to report it. At the most basic level, experts say that a person needs to be free to feel the way they do, that they need to be able to process the feelings they're feeling. Validation is key. So what are some things you can say to someone who's been assaulted or abused? You can say, "I believe you." You can say, "It took a lot of courage to tell me about this." Because it can be so incredibly fucking difficult for survivors to come forward and share their story. There are survivors who don't ever share their stories because of that fear. There are survivors who wait years before sharing their stories. It varies from one person to another. You don't need to ask investigative questions. You can leave that to the investigators. Your job is not to ask why. Your job is to be supportive. Also, because people respond to trauma in different ways, please don't ever assume that if a person tells you this story calmly, if they tell it to you without crying, that somehow it didn't happen. People react to stress in different ways. So, number one best thing you could possibly do is just believe them. You can also say it's not your fault. You can say they didn't do anything to deserve this, because a lot of survivors may blame themselves, especially that tends to be the case when they know the perpetrator personally, and in many instances that is the case, like statistically. Remind the survivor, if you have to remind them repeatedly, that's fine, but remind them that this is not their fault. They are not to blame. You can also say you are not alone. You can say, "I care about you. I'm here to listen. I'm here to help." It makes a big difference when the survivor knows that there are people who are there for them. There are people who are willing to listen to what they have to say if they're comfortable enough to say it. Another really big important thing, this is just important knowledge to have, period. There are resources for assault victims. So take down this number, 800-656-4673. That's 800-656-HOPE. For cell phone callers, you have the option to enter a zip code of the current location so that you can more accurately locate the nearest sexual assault service provider. Now, the sexual assault service providers are organizations or agencies that are dedicated to supporting survivors of sexual assault. So the providers who answer calls placed to the hotline, those are known as RAIN affiliates. And in order to be part of the National Sexual Assault Hotline, affiliates have to agree to uphold RAIN's confidentiality standards. This is huge. This means never releasing records or information about the call without the consent of the caller, except when obligated by law, and only making reports to the police or other agencies when the caller consents, unless, again, obligated by law, and also agreeing to RAIN's non-discriminatory policy. That means regardless of your gender identity, sexual orientation, race, religion, all of it, they will help you. Again, that number is 800-656-4673. That's 800-656-HOPE.
Helping everybody all around. Listeners, Micronesia, Polynesia, Melanesia. This is how I do it. Hit you with the anesthesia. Hope you ready, cause you know we wake you up. Let you feel good. Raise your cup. It's a toast. Make you feel about that good life. Live it for the most. And if you want, in the U.S., you know that we do it. Do it. Hold it down, yeah. Mental health check-in. Ooh. Mental health check-in. Yeah.
Thank you again for tuning into this week's episode of the Shenanigans podcast. I know I talked about some difficult issues, issues that in Pacifican communities are generally swept under the rug, but that is the problem. We're raised within these cultures where we, and by we I don't necessarily mean you and me, but you get the idea, are often forced to put status and reputations ahead of welfare and safety. But until we can get to the point where we as communities are first and foremost concerned about the well-being of our weakest, our most defenseless, our most vulnerable, our most marginalized, our most neglected, we can't expect change. See, that's that direct action from earlier in the podcast. I'm going to be providing links on the blog post associated with this podcast episode for various resources, including a link to End Violence Against Women International. Now, it's one of the free resources that I had access to even while I was in Palau for training when it comes to sexual assault. So, if you're looking for more information, wanting to find ways to help within your respective communities, I definitely recommend looking into their free training. Again, thank you for tuning in, and as always, don't drink and drive, don't drink and dial, don't drink and text, don't drink and tweet, don't drink and do anything you might regret come morning, because come morning, you'll regret it. See y'all next week, fam.